discipleship, meaning discipleship in my own life and discipling others. So that's what I want to talk about today, about discipleship. So if we can start the first slide. So what's discipleship all about? So I guess it's been something that's really been stirring in my heart for the last few years about discipleship and in the body and as an individual, as you know, me, myself, and I, how am I growing in my, as a disciple of Jesus. So God has been involved in my life for many years now, and I won't tell you how many. I was 10 when I was baptised and wanted to follow Jesus, and I knew that I didn't want to live my life without him. And he continues to disciple me, and I'm really thankful for all the many people that he's placed in my life that have encouraged me, that have spurred me on, that have you know, had little chats with me when maybe I was sort of heading off in a wrong direction. And I know that God, who begins a good work in us, he'll be faithful to complete it, and that's a really great thing. So Matthew 28, So Matthew 28, 18 to 20, or well, actually 19 to 20. Are we managing to get it? It's funny that, isn't it? Media. So it sort of starts off with, in the King James Version, "Go ye." Okay, so today, all those people who are ye's must put your hand up right now. If there's no you's out there, well, we're all, it's no good. So go ye, that means me, okay? There's no exceptions with what God has asked us to do here. That's to all believers who have called upon his name. So go is not necessarily the main verb, but to make. That's the issue. And this morning we prayed for those missionaries that have actually gone. They've left their homelands, and that's really great that people are obedient to the call of God to take them overseas. Okay, great. Looks like we've got visual. So God wants us to be obedient, whether he calls us to go overseas or to go to our neighbourhood, to go to those people that we meet every day. So our focus with discipleship, of course, is Jesus and not the church. And as we focus on Jesus, that he promises to grow his church and individuals in that church. The gospel message is not a message to get out there, but it's a life to live. So we want to really live the life that God's asked us to live. And so, so discipleship is our thing. So that's Matthew 28. So discipleship. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, disciples have a living relationship with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has done work in our lives for that to happen, to bring us to a place where we've asked him to come into our lives, to dwell in us, and to empower us to live that life that he's asked us to live. And we've made a response to that call that he's given us. So we're called to worship, and worship is, yes, singing songs, but worship is also serving. So we've responded to God in that way too. We're called to love, and out of that love, we want to serve God and we serve others. So we're called to bear witness of our relationship with God, and that's the wonderful thing. It's not just, okay, I need to tell you the gospel message in three easy points. It's what's God doing in our lives today, and share that. So John 13:35 is the mark of a disciple. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So the girls have gone. Yes? Ah, yes. Okay, can you tell me what the Girls' Brigade motto is? Is it still the same as when I was a little girl? Is it seek, serve, and follow Christ? Yeah. So that's a really good thing to remember, you know, as we walk along our life of discipleship, we're to seek him, to serve him and follow him. And that's part of the journey of discipleship. Now, we're just going to have a look at a little Vimeo clip, which is a little bit out of the box as far as what discipleship means. So, yeah, if we can play that, that would be great. Thanks, Asha. No, not that one, sorry. Not that one. That got put on the PowerPoint, the one that you fixed the other day. Sorry. Yeah. So listen out in this video clip for what his definition of discipleship. And that's it. That's it. Great.
Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he left his disciples with a mission to make disciples of all nations. It's interesting when you think about discipleship these days, a lot of people tend to think it's just a curriculum or a Bible study, maybe a class you attend, maybe just some spiritual disciplines you learn. But when you look at the life of Jesus with his disciples, you realize for him, discipleship was an all-of-life thing. They ate together, they played together, they walked together, they talked together. He knew them, they knew him. They could watch what it looked like to really worship and follow God in everyday life. And so as I define discipleship often, I'll say it's leading people to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. It's an all of life thing. When we see the everyday normal stuff of life as the place in which we could engage in mission, we're actually going to reach everyday people. And we're also going to be able to show them what it looks like to follow Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. See, if all they think of is church is an event you go to, then they think the rest of life doesn't really matter. See, we've got to get away from the idea that the only people who get to be the church are the ones who get to be on a stage on Sunday, or the people who maybe are the professional pastors or leaders. That church is not primarily a Sunday event. He lived and died so we could be his people, through whom he fills every part of the world with his presence. He plans to saturate the earth with his glory through us, his church, making disciples of Jesus in the everyday stuff of life.
Stuff of life, and his definition was leading people to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I really like that, quite like that definition. So we can gather from that it's not a 6 or 10 week course or however long, and out you go on the conveyor, now I am a disciple. It's not quite like that, it's a lifetime process. So, discipleship is living our lives with eternity in mind. So, we've spoken much about hope and that Jesus is coming again, and that confident hope that we can have that Michael preached about a couple of weeks ago. We want to be found ready for his return, and that means for our own lives, we want to be the disciple that Jesus wants us to be, and with that sense of destiny and knowing that Jesus is coming again, we want others to know that he loves them as much as he loves us. So as a called out individual along with the body, we have the opportunity to join with God in his mission. So God wants us to grow and bring others into God's kingdom where we can have a living relationship with the Master Jesus. The Christian life is not a list of rules to tick off and to be done, but it's an abiding in Christ day by day. And we want to be discipled to God's ways and not to the world's ways. So we're going to have a little bit of a look at John 15, verses 9 to 17. And who can I pick on? Andrea, would you like to read? It's on the screen. John 15, verses 9 to 17. Peter, if you could read verses 26 and 27, please.
But I will send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you all about him. And you must also tell others about him, because you have been with me from the beginning.
So we're called to bear fruit. And I love that that we're no longer slaves, but he calls us friend. And so one of the things that's really important is to have our foundation set on truth. And one of the really important truths, of course, is to know who God is. And so what I'm going to get you to do, there's big pieces of paper on the table, and I just want you to write a few things about who God is, the truth about who God is. And I've got some pens if you need them, or Katie's got a box of texters if you want to grab some texters. In that song, Good, Good Father, the opening line in that, it says, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they say about me. Well, sometimes God gets blamed for an awful lot of things that he doesn't do, and God is good, and that's the truth. So just write a few things down about who is God on that piece of paper. You got about a minute to do it, a minute to win it. How are you going with your list? Okay, another 20 seconds. Okay, who would like to share some of the things that they wrote about who God is? Okay, can we have somebody from Graham and Julie's table if you share, and we'll go around and everybody can share a couple of things on your page, please. Yes. Yeah, great. Next table. Who would like to share? Ariel? Yeah. Next table, down the back there. Sorry, Betty. Yeah, do you want to share? Yes. Yep. 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 Susan, please. Yes. Yep. Guys down the back there. Yeah, great. Yep. Murray? Yep, I'll go. Yep, some more. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, great. Murray. Yep. Great. Marjorie or Katie. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. The branch table. That's excellent. Yeah. So yeah, just pop up those other two slides. Yeah. So there's lots of things about who God is, and it's good to remember those things and maybe write some of those things down and refresh our memories. Sometimes, in the middle of difficult things, we tend to lose sight of who God really is and how powerful He really is, and how able He is. And so, the next question I have is, who is my master in life? Who is my master? So we can't serve two masters. And sometimes that's not always easy. Just thinking of, you know, sometimes we tend to want to take over and control things ourselves. And sometimes there's a real need for self-control to give God that control back. Because we know from the character of God, which we've just written down, that He can be trusted. He can be trusted with me, myself, and my problems. And it's surrendering to what God wants in our lives that's not always easy, but it's what brings lasting and true satisfaction in life. We belong to Him, and so He can be the master of our lives. He bought us with a price. And so, just with surrender sometimes, you know, just thinking about when we had our house on the market, it was like, oh, I'm trying to control everything, trying to make sure that it was perfect before we walked out the door. And then, of course, we left it empty. It was out of my control. So it was a real surrender. God, you know, we trust You. It's not always easy to surrender, but God has good plans for His children. His promises are true, God is faithful, and He shows mercy and love on the cross. So it's okay to surrender our lives to Him. It's more than okay. So the next slide is who we are, who am I? Who am I? And in relation to discipleship, knowing who God has called us to be and who He calls us now that we are His disciple is great. So that lovely reading from John 15, how now we are a friend of God, and our identity is not wrapped up in what the things that we do. It's wrapped up in what Christ has done for us. So we're chosen by God, and that was a lovely song that we sang about being chosen. We've been adopted and brought into his family. We're set apart as holy to God. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us, and that's what empowers us to do what he's asked us to do. And we've been made righteous. So no longer does he see us as sinners, but he sees us as righteous. So these are all good things that grow us in our discipleship journey. They help us to see the true picture of what God has called us to be. So we can be salt and light in this world that struggles to find meaning and purpose in this life. So discovering our identity and living in this new identity is part of the redemptive journey that we're on. So we're growing in that too. So, you know, we're growing from, you know, small beginnings to growing in really knowing that in our inner being. So looking at the next one, what am I called to do? So we're called to be with Jesus. We're called to abide in him in John 15. And out of the being with him, the doing comes. As we be with Jesus, we receive everything we need to do whatever it is that he's called us to do. So then we can become deliverers of the good news that he's asked us to deliver. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. As we seek God, we find joy in him as we spend time with him. It's only out of our being with him that we can accomplish good for God. So John 4:34 says, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me and to accomplish his work. So this was Jesus' calling, and this is our calling today, to go and be about the Father's business. And Matthew 28:19-20 is that comes out of being with Jesus. So we can share Jesus and make him famous. So evangelism is sharing what God has done in our lives, or remembering a story from the scripture that maybe relates to something, a conversation that you may be having with somebody, and you may be able to relay that story. Perhaps the story of Joseph in Egypt, or maybe Jesus as a small child, or maybe the early church. There may be some story that God may have us to share with somebody as we're chatting. So God makes full-time ministers and places them as teachers, doctors, nurses, IT professionals, hairdressers, painters, firemen, policemen, you name it. He places them in different fields all over, working everywhere. And God's got us all in full-time ministry. So that's pretty exciting, I think. So what do I value in life? So the first question really is, what does God value, and then value that? The scriptures tell us in Matthew 28, and that was his last request, and that's a really important thing. And if we're going to say goodbye to somebody, usually it's we've got something for a long time, we've got something really important. So we really need to take notice of this last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he went to his Father. So we want to value kingdom purposes. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, and it's the Holy Spirit's agenda that we make disciples, because it's just, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that comes in and draws people to himself. So if I'm being led by the Spirit, then I will be cooperating with the Holy Spirit in endeavouring to make disciples. And if we can go, while we were away on our weekend, we looked at life stream values, which are on this important document. And there's a little quote on the next slide, I think, that says that it's not difficult to make decisions when you know what your values are. And you know, that was one of the things that sort of flowed once we looked at some of our values and said, well, these are, values that God has, and so then it was easy to make decisions about the future based on our values. So one of the values that Lifestream have is we value discipleship. Through teaching and modelling, we desire to see every believer grow in the truth of God's word, walk in the freedom and power of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to make disciples of others. So that's the journey that we're on as believers and disciples. So what are the priorities of a disciple? Yep. So we're just going to have a look at a little clip, and Murray talked about priorities earlier, and sometimes it's a bit of a juggling match to try and make sure that we put everything into life, but we'll just have a look at this little video clip.
Sorting out your life is about setting priorities.
Homework.
School.
Job.
Friendships.
Cheer.
Sports.
Birthday parties.
The mall.
Boyfriend.
Girlfriends.
You know, life.
And though these things aren't bad,
we are called to build our life.
And if we don't prioritize,
we will begin to fill our life and leave out the fundamentals. Prayer.
Scripture.
Church.
Fellowship.
Sharing our faith.
Hope.
And love. When the trials and storms of life come, it's wise to be grounded on bedrock.
Prayer.
The Word of God.
Our church.
The faith we have in Christ.
Our hope in Him is that strong foundation.
The fundamentals.
It's how we exist.
How we continue to stand in the tough times of life.
When it's all blown away,
we have that solid ground.
So prioritize.
Put down the strong foundation, the fundamentals.
The rock.
Place it first.
Will help us to make time for the things that are really important. Okay. So how can we be empowered to be a disciple who disciples others? So of course we're on our own journey, but we want to bring people into this journey too. And the Holy Spirit, who helps us to persevere, it's a day by day, sometimes a moment by moment, a one foot after the other process that we walk with God. God has given us His Spirit to empower us and to encourage us, and He wants us to encourage others as we walk this journey together. I love the story of Nehemiah, where he had spoke about they held one weapon in one hand and a tool for building in the other. And we want to build each other up in a sincere and genuine way. We don't want to hinder what God is wanting to build. So we want to encourage that building together. So who should I anchor my life upon? Well, of course, that's Jesus. What does an anchor provide for a ship? Stability and a firm ability to stay still when the wind and the waves come. And a wise man builds his house upon rock. And of course, that who is God? You know, like come back to remember who God is. And that was a really apt song again, remembering who God really is, how good He is. And what does God think about me? Well, that's wrapped in our identity and who He says we are, His righteous, we're His righteousness. And what does God want me to do? He wants us to engage and relate and discover in this experience together. As we daily with God and the scriptures, we're dependent, of course, on the Holy Spirit to bring any of this to pass. So we want to pass it on. A disciple is a learner, a student, an apprentice, or a practitioner. We're asked to make disciples and not converts, and that's, we don't want to just get people over the line, but we want to help them to really enjoy the life of joy and peace and love that God has for us. We are his constant apprentices, and we want to make constant apprentices as well. And what does God want us to pass on? Well, of course, the gospel. This is an outworking, of course, of what God is doing in our lives. And we see how Paul came back to Timothy and helped him. And, you know, the scriptures speak about the older women nurturing the younger women and modelling. And that was mentioned again in our values as well. So as we apply the scriptures to our lives and act upon what God has for us, then we will be able to deliver this message and live the life that God wants us to live. The scriptures are God's revelation to point us to Jesus, who saves us and loves us. We want to reap the benefits. Oh, yeah, go the next. Yep, reap the benefits, thank you. We want to be an agent of God's love. We want to be able to bear much fruit. We want to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures and be able to live it out. And disciples, as we've discovered, they needed to be with him to learn what he did. We want to have a transformed heart. I'm just going to close with reading Matthew 28, from the Message. So Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, making them by baptism into the threefold name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day, after day, right up to the end of the age. And how good is it that not only have we been given this wonderful message to live out and to transfer on to others, but also the promise that he will be with us as we do this. So if we could just pray and ask God to help us this week as he disciples us and as we disciple others, that would be really great. So we'll just pray. Father God, we thank you that, Lord, you are a good God, Lord, that you have drawn us and called us by everything that your Son has done for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you that we can have this new life with you. Lord, that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that you will help us and empower us for everything you want us to do, Lord. We thank you that we can be with you, and Lord, that you are for us. So we give you thanks for all these things today, in Jesus' name. Amen.